So in the Uncanny Valley article, there was a conversation about the fact that as human beings, we will accept synthetic or robotic replicants as long as they are very obviously not human. And that's what Schmeagle was. Schmeagle was a humanoid. Again, he wasn't a human, and he wasn't a tree or a dog. He was something somewhere between a human and some other creature. And because it was obviously not a human, Schmeagle didn't really bother our senses. We took it on fact that that was a non-human. And so he could look and act pretty much however the character needed to, and we would take it as such. We wouldn't be offended by that or disturbed by it. And the way that that character, again, was made was using typical Hollywood film production techniques. And that was a digital character for Schmeagle was constructed inside a 3D environment. And the movements or the motions of Schmeagle were captured by an actor in a suit. And those motions, also known as motion capture or mocap, those were used to animate the digital character. But when it came time to render or draw that character and convert it into video, it didn't happen in real time. It was a bunch of computers, hundreds of computers working at the same time, sometimes hours and hours and hours just for 1 second of video. So you had an awful lot of horsepower, render power, going into every single second of Schmeagle moving around on the screen. And if you're going to try and do that in real time on today's computers, amazingly, if you were just doing Schmeagle, you weren't doing the whole environment with all the humans and everything else in, but you're just doing Schmeagle all by himself, today, on a high-end desktop computer with a good video card, a good graphics processing unit, you would actually get pretty close to the same quality as Schmeagle was in Lord of the Rings. And the reason for that is that although a tremendous amount of compute power went into creating Schmeagle in the video for the movie, the technology for real-time 3D has advanced so much and continues to advance at such a fast rate that a good fast desktop computer with a very fast 3D processor, a GPU graphics processing unit, could get pretty close to that today. And so you could have real-time Schmeagle in a video game, for example, on your computer today, or very close to it. But again, Schmeagle was non-human, a humanoid, and we're getting to the stage where we want to see human beings in real time looking like human beings. And part of the process of getting to there takes us through what is called the Uncanny Valley. And the Uncanny Valley, as you read, was a term that was developed by a roboticist. And he observed and documented this phenomenon, which was we're accepting of the Aibo dog or a little R2-D2 robot or C-3PO, and we accept these and it doesn't bother us and we're not unnerved by it at all because they're clearly not humans. But once we start making them look like humans, we're going to be accepting of them and do accept them up to the point where they're close enough to a human being, but not precisely. So they don't look precisely like a human being, but they're close enough that it starts to disturb our senses. And the reason for that is that we're pretty well attuned over however many years you believe we've been around. We're attuned to seeing each other's faces. And as an animal, as a human animal, we are in survival mode by seeing and understanding how other human beings look, act, and react. And so we're very, very sensitive to the human face and to the body language of human beings and to hair and to eyes and everything, all these subtleties. And there are a lot of very subtle things that go into human beings that people don't even realize. And a lot of people are considered good face readers, for example. They can tell if someone is lying, or they can tell if someone is embarrassed, or they could pick up on stress. And these particular people, and there are different ranges of them, but some are very good, and typically psychics are thought to be in that class of people. But they pick up human emotion and human behavior very, very subtly that most people don't pick up on, and they read it properly, they understand it. And that gives a notion, or a sense rather, of how attuned we are and can be to what a human being is. And the Uncanny Valley says, if you get close close enough to looking like a real human, but you don't have all those characteristics of a human being, and there are things missing. So, for example, if I have a robot that is the same size, weight, and dimensions of a human being, and the skin is a rubbery enough material that it approximates or looks like a human being, but it's not a human being, I know that it's not a human being, but it's close enough, that makes me feel uneasy. That's an uncanny kind of a feeling. It feels strange to me. And the notion here is that there's that gap between being real enough that we think it's a human, but not human enough that we accept it as a human being. And that gap poses a discomfort to us because we know it's not a human, and it's clearly not a robot. It's clearly not a humanoid, but it's close enough to what we expect out of a human being, but it's not precisely what we expect. And that makes our defense mechanisms and the way we deal with understanding human relations, it sets those alarm bells off, and that's the uncanny valley. Well, the uncanny valley was developed for robots, and that notion and that line of thinking was developed specifically around robotics and robots. And as you saw in that article, robots are starting to look an awful lot like humans. I've seen some videos and some images of robots that are so close to human beings that at first blush, and if you didn't study it, you start to think you're dealing with a human being there. Well, the same thing has happened with computer graphics. We're getting to the stage where synthetic humans are approaching, in real time, the uncanny valley. Now, as far as non-real time, pre-rendered, or also known as offline rendering of these characters, there's enough time. You know, if I needed to, as a movie studio, I could put 1,000 computers working for a year to render, you know, 1 or 2 minutes of video for a humanoid or a human being. And with that kind of compute power, I can convince you that it is in fact a human being. As a matter of fact, if you watch The Sopranos, if you've ever watched The Sopranos, if you watch the first season, Tony Soprano's mother is sick and in a hospital. Well, that real character in the real life, she died before that scene was complete. So they created a 3D synthetic human version of her to finish that sequence. So if you go back and go get The Sopranos on DVD and you watch Livy, who is that character, Tony's mom, in the hospital sick, there are a couple minutes of that at the end of that entire, that's the end of her character in The Sopranos, and quite literally she had passed away before that scene was finished, and they finished that scene with her as a synthetic human. So with enough processing time, you can in fact create an illusion that we will accept as a human being, at least in cinema on the film. Similarly, if you saw Gladiator with Russell Crowe, there is the trainer. I believe his name is maybe Mephisto. I can't recall off the top of my head what his name is. But there's a battle scene at the end of this, and he is killed in that. And he never actually lived to film that scene. He never, as a human being, never got to film that and finish that sequence. But the video production company, the movie studio that was creating Gladiator, had enough film of him already. They knew what his voice sounded like. They knew what he looked like. They had plenty of film and footage of him. They created, for his last remaining couple minutes in the movie Gladiator, they created a synthetic human, a digital human, that finished his scene for him. So although he had died, they were able to finish the movie. And the takeaway here is that we're at a stage where digital humans in pre-rendered environments, so mostly done for film and Hollywood and sometimes for television commercials, it's at a stage where we don't sense the uncanny valley if enough technical effort is put behind it. That is, if the artists are good enough and if there's enough computing power put behind it, we will accept that as a human being. And in fact, those are two examples I just gave you of Sopranos and also of Gladiator, where human beings were seamlessly mixed with 3D synthetic humans and the general public had no idea. So what we have here is a transition, and that transition is happening into the synthetic environment and into the real-time 3D environment. And we're quickly approaching. The point is where we're going toward is a point in time where the computer is going to become the the mechanism by which we're experiencing synthetic human beings, and the power of the computer is going to be used to render these characters in full 3D, in full resolution, in a full high-end quality environment where you're going to accept it as a human, and you're going to accept the environment that you're in as being real, and you're not going to be able to tell am I watching reality or am I watching a virtual environment? Am I in, you know, not Second Life, not Third Life, but am I in Fifth Life, or am I actually, you know, in real life? And it's that blur that starts to become a concern for human beings in general. You know, some people have a hard time with video games and getting off them today. A lot of people get stuck in virtual worlds like Second Life because they find communities and people and it's compelling, and they have difficulty getting out of there, if you will. They spend a lot more time than they probably should. Well, that's nothing compared to what's going to happen 15, 20 years from now, when the environments are so realistic and the characters are so realistic that they are compelled because they feel as if they're there. The reality truly becomes an immersive reality and an immersive environment. And, you know, there are going to be some cultural impacts from that. There are going to be some issues that are going to arise that we're going to have to deal with. And as proof tonight that we're heading there and that it's already possible, it's simply a matter of all the pieces being put together and the computers being fast enough, which they're approaching, I want to show you some new technologies. And what I'd like you to do is turn to the class notes now. And underneath the articles that you just read, underneath the Uncanny Valley and Rise of Synthespian articles, there is a heading called Real-Time Synthetic Humans. And effectively what we're going to look at now is the ability to do what you just saw, which is pre-rendered, but to start doing it in real time. And the concept here is that Hollywood technology and real-time 3D technology are really starting to blend together. The same tools, the same content creation tools that are used to create Hollywood movies, like the synthetic Schmeagle that we just saw, are also used to create video games today. And so you start to see this cross-pollination between Hollywood and the game industry, and Hollywood and the virtual reality, virtual worlds industry. And those are clearly blurring, and as they blur, you can clearly see where the technology that's being used in the film industry is appearing in the game industry and vice versa. And you can start to see the effect of it. So what I'd like you to do is start with step one. And it says there are some steps to creating synthetic digital humans. And the first is, here's an easy way. You can create your face from a photo using tools such as FaceGen. So click on that link. I'm going to go into the FaceGen modeler and scroll down. And there are some buttons there. You can create some faces. You can start to see these synthetic faces, just generate different faces, click on them, a couple of buttons. You can see some random humanoid or human faces and some caricature faces. And down below those buttons, as you've taken a look at some of the permutations you can create, take a look at the faces that you can create from photographs. You only need two photos now to create a very realistic synthetic human. You have a straight-on shot and a profile shot. And what this will render for you or generate for you is a synthetic base head, a head that looks like you. And then you can tweak it and change it and control it. And that's actually what this tool does. This tool called FaceGen Modeler is all about taking photographs. It's a process called photo-based modeling. It takes a couple of photos. You send it the photos. It creates the human head. And then you can control those with different types of controls known as morphs. You can change the age by morphing from one age to the next. You can change the gender, and you can also change the race, and you can combine them in any way that you like. You also can change the type of skin that's applied to your head, and you can control other factors. So just take a look at that, walk on down, and you'll see that there are a lot of options in this tool. So here's one tool. It's not very expensive. It's a few hundred dollars. You know, by comparison, stuff like this, it wasn't available really for the average person. It was, at best, it was for Hollywood, and it was thousands and thousands of dollars and very high end. Well, now here's a tool, a couple hundred bucks, and anybody could start to create synthetic heads like this. So that's a tool that you're going to be using. So this is a page you're going to come down to and get the free version. In fact, you could start downloading the free version now at the very bottom of the page if you wanted to. You could start to get the free version. You could be doing some work inside of that tool. And you can come back to it as well. So after you've had a little bit of fun taking a look at that page, then come back to our class notes. That was step one. And then go to step two. Don't go to step two. Inside of step one, there are two links. We were just looking at link number one. And that was how to showing you the basic overview of this particular tool. And then there's another link inside of step one. It says, using a tool such as FaceGen, here are some examples of how average everyday people can create their own synthetic face using no more than a couple of photos. That's a head-on shot and a profile. So take a look at that. And just scroll down. And as you scroll down, just start to let it sink in about how simple it is to create these characters now. And look at the second character in the middle. And so we have at the very top, if I take a look at what I've got now, I've got about three or four different models there. So just kind of scroll up and down, looking at these characters. And at the very end, there's an elderly woman with blue eyes. And at the very top, there's a young man. And in between, there are a couple of other characters as well. Enjoy that as you scroll through and really look at the synthetic heads. You know, spend a moment or two looking at those synthetic heads as you go through. So once you've had a chance to look at that, and again, you know, you would think, looking at the quality of those characters, you would think, well, this is such a high quality 3D head, it could only be rendered offline, pre-rendered by a computer working for a couple of hours to draw that synthetic head, or maybe a bank of computers working for some period of time. Well, the answer is no. And that is actually, and you're going to use it, you're going to see John. John is one of the characters. He's an Asian man in that series of photos you just saw, and the synthetic head. You're going to see John's 3D head in the virtual reality modeling language. Now, VRML is a 3D technology that you can download a plugin, play it in your web browser, and then you can load stuff into the web browser and you can view it. It also has, if you download this tool we're going to use, it has a standalone viewer, and so you can get that synthetic head of John. You're going to actually play with him. He's comprised of what's called a mesh, which is a synthetic geometry or form that shapes the head, and then a texture, which is a picture, a bitmap image, a JPEG or a PNG or a GIF that wraps or maps in a process called texture mapping or texture wrapping, and it wraps that texture around the shape, around the synthetic form or geometry, and that gives you the head. What you're going to do is you're going to take a look at 3D John. You're going to have to download the right tool, and we'll get to that in a moment. But you're going to then edit the bitmap. You're going to open that bitmap up in GIMP Shop or Photoshop or Paint, and you maybe add a mustache to John or take away some blemishes or put a tattoo on his face. But you're going to see how, once you have a synthetic character, you can change different aspects of him. So once you've done that, taking a look at FaceGen, we're now going to go into step two. And step two is going to take some time to get through, because step two has a bunch of videos and a bunch of overview. But the general notion here is that just having a face, like the ones you saw, and 3D John, which is one you're going to play with as an exercise for this class, just having a face isn't enough. You need a voice, and you need to animate the face. You have to be able to move the face. If you looked at those photos on the page, it would be, even as good as they looked, it'd be pretty obvious that it wasn't a real human being, because the face doesn't move. Human beings, even if you're trying to be perfectly still, you know, if you've ever played that game of, you know, the stare down or the blink, the average human being can keep their eyes open for about a minute. Well, even if they're trying to keep their eyes open, the eyeball itself is moving, you know, and you can't prevent that from happening. Human beings have no complete control. They have some control of the eyes, but not complete. So something has to move. You know, if you have a perfectly still face, something still has to move in order to be considered human. And if you think about it, almost all the time, even during sleep, the human face is moving. Air is coming in and out of the lungs. It makes the lips move. It makes the nostrils move. It makes the cheeks move. It might be a tiny, tiny, tiny amount, but that's still moving. Eyes are moving. Eyes, even when the eyes are closed, are rolling around inside of the eyelid. So in order to get the effect of a human being, just having the head created with a tool like we just saw isn't enough. You need to be able to move and animate the face. And there's a tool that's recently come both for video and for real-time games and real-time virtual reality called FaceRobot. It's a fairly new tool, but what it allows is very powerful animation of human faces. It allows you to control the facial animation, the gestures, the emotion of the face. And so it's going to take us some time to get through this. So this is another exercise that is going to take about 15 minutes to 20 minutes. And why don't we take a total of 20 minutes for this? And then we're going to start to wrap up this class here. But go into step two. And once you get to step two, there are a couple things I want you to do. You get to the FaceRobot homepage. So we're starting off in our class notes, synthetic human class notes, and we're underneath the real-time synthetic humans heading, and we're now at step two at the FaceRobot. If you go to the FaceRobot homepage, in fact, let me just double check here. Everybody just let me know. Can everybody let me know if they are able to get to the FaceRobot homepage? Okay. So let me walk through the FaceRobot, getting to the FaceRobot again, just one more time for the folks who are having some tough time. We're on our class notes for tonight. Those are the synthetic humans class notes. Underneath the real-time synthetic humans heading, so we're just doing step number one. The first link is step number two, is the FaceRobot homepage. So it says, step two, to make a synthetic human face seem real, technologies such as FaceRobot come into play. So you need to click on that link, and that opens up the soft image FaceRobot homepage. Does everybody see that? Okay, great. So, one second. All right, so once at the FaceRobot homepage, there is an overview, a tour, and a gallery. And you'll see that about the top quarter of the page, there's a bunch of links at the very top of the page, but right underneath the main banner and right above where they start describing the product, there's overview, tour, and gallery. So I'm going to describe what we need to do, because once you start to do it, you won't be able to hear what I'm saying because this is all video. What I'd like you to do is spend 3 minutes on the homepage, the overview. Just read the text, and then after you come to the text, there's going to be a video. It says Introduction to FaceRobot, and there's a video to play, and to play it, you click on the diamond, either on the video or the green diamond that's right below it, but there's a little video that you can watch. That is a minute and 53 seconds. It's almost 2 minutes. After you watch that video, and you don't have to watch that entire video. I'd say you could watch about 60 seconds of it. You get the idea there. What's important is to go then into the tour. So you scroll a little bit up again, you come to the tour. Again, you can read some of that text, but what's especially important is on the right-hand side of the page, there's again the play arrows, there's a video. Now this video is 2 minutes and 57 seconds long. This is a 3-minute video. And you want to watch the entire thing. It's different stages, and some of them are more interesting than the others, but it's important to watch the entire video. They show you how the face robot technology is used to generate synthetic humans that are so compelling. Now, in this case, it's a semi-humanoid in this video, but it can be applied to an actual photorealistic human face. But it shows you the process. So watch that one, and don't do it yet, but that's about a 3-minute video, so watch that. And then go into the gallery. When you're done with that, you go into the gallery. And in the gallery, there are several videos and several screenshots. So we don't have a great deal of time left in this class. What I'd like you to do is to spend a total of 15 minutes on looking at FaceRobot. So do the overview, watch about a minute of that video, watch the entire tour video, the T-O-U-R video, tour, and then go to the gallery. And watch as many as you have left to finish up your 15 minutes. So keep an eye on the clock, and let's meet back here in 15 minutes. But there are a couple of videos that are primarily videos that I'd like you to be watching. All right? Does that sound okay? Wonderful. Okay, folks, enjoy it. This is actually some really fun stuff. I hope you enjoy Face Robot and seeing really what is the future of facial animation and facial creation. So have some fun. I'll see you back here in 15 minutes. Take care.